and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David takes a look at planting churches and has a big announcement to make. Let's listen.
Amen. All right, so many of us have had to stay home this year, both to keep ourselves safe and also to lower the rate of virus transmission in our communities, but there is one group that actually saw quite a spike in participation, which I think is actually really neat. It's the AmeriCorps volunteers. They saw a spike in participation this year. AmeriCorps is made up usually of youth or college students who dedicate 10 months towards volunteering for a project. And those projects this year have been passing out and helping with the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. There has been wildlife prevention in the West. They've worked on food insecurity issues. There's been a lot that AmeriCorps has done. There was one quote from one of their members who helped out this year, one of the college students, who said this. I thought this was really neat. She said, "Being able to step up and help places that really need it has been such a gratifying way to take a year that would otherwise have been staying at home and make it a life-changing experience." Well, I find stories like that really inspiring because they are full of people who see that they want to make a difference in the world. They have that desire for some sort of positive change in the world, and then they take that desire and they transform it into action. They go and dedicate 10 months and say, "I'm really gonna do what I can do to make this world a better place." And I bet all of us here today and all of us who are watching online, we can probably relate to that, can't we? Because we all want the world to be a more just, more loving, a more equitable place. We all see the world and say, "Oh yeah, there's some changes that need to happen. There's some positive changes that would make such a difference in the world we live in." All of us, I bet, want to see the further expansion of the kingdom of God in this world. But how many of us get caught up in just the desire and don't know how to then move that into action? We have the right feelings, the right desires of what we want to see in this world, but we don't know how to get it done. We don't know how to make positive change. But those AmeriCorps volunteers are, I think, a good example for us of how it is possible to take desire and transform it into action. Well, we have spent the last 7 weeks studying the Jesus' command to go and make disciples here on earth, because in making disciples, we are creating a better world. You know, the more people who understand that God's love is at the very center of our existence, then the more people will work to transform this world into a more loving place. So I was thinking for the last week of this series, I mean, we've studied so much as we've looked at the book of Acts, and so for the last week of this series, as we are really focusing our time and attention on going, making a difference in the world, making the world a better place, what would be the right way to end this series? And I thought it would be looking at Paul's legacy, because Paul has really become the central character, hasn't he, in the book of Acts? And so what has his legacy been when he looks back on his life and says, "Well, what did I accomplish? You know, what sort of answer would we give?" So that's why I'd like to look at today the way that Paul changed the world in hopes that it inspires us to do something similar. So as we get into this today, I want to first read you a list of names. And I want you to see if you can figure out what they have in common, okay? I'll give you a little hint. These are going to be 7 cities. So see if you can find out what these have in common. The 7 cities I'm naming today are Antioch, Ephesus, Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, Colossae, and Galatia. All right, any guesses? What do those seven cities have in common? Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. These are examples of the cities where Paul went and planted a church. So before Paul traveled there, there was no Christian church. But after Paul left there, there was a church that then continued to be there for really hundreds of years. Yes, if Paul had not traveled to those cities, those churches would not be there. But what we read in the book of Acts is that Paul goes on several missionary journeys. And in those missionary journeys, he will travel to a city, he will preach the gospel, he will share the good news, he will then train leaders, he will set up a system, a structure for the church. He'll spend 6 months, a year in those places, training and getting them ready to be a church, and then he will leave. And he'll go and do the same thing in another city. I mean, the fact that these churches exist is a beautiful legacy that Paul has left. But do you want to know what's even better? These churches all went to plant and start other churches. Yes, these churches, once they became formed, decided to train their own missionaries and to send them out, and they then did exactly what Paul did in their midst. They preached the gospel. They trained leaders. They set up a system of government to structure themselves, and they planted more churches. Yes, these churches were determined to go and make disciples of all nations, and they transformed their desire into action. What an amazing legacy that Paul has left. Now, near the end of his time, he's gone on several missionary journeys at this time, and he decides to travel back to Jerusalem and to give a bit of a status report, an update on how everything has gone. Now, remember, Jerusalem is like the central hub of the church in Paul's time. Jerusalem, if you remember from way back in early in the series, was the place where they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch and figure out, well, what's happening with all these Gentiles coming to faith. That was their kind of role, to just, you know, have their eye on everything happening in the expansion of the church. So Paul returns to Jerusalem after his lengthy missionary journeys for a status report, and here's where we're going to pick up our story in the book of Acts. So this comes from Acts chapter 21, verse 17. It says, when we, meaning Paul and his travel companions, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers and sisters received us warmly. The next day, Paul and the rest of us went to see James, and all the elders were present. All right, so this is the James who is the brother of Jesus. This is also the James in which the book of James in the New Testament is written after. So it appears that Paul and his travel companions, they got into Jerusalem maybe late in the day. They spend the night with some brothers and sisters. That's another name for Christians in the area. And then the next day, they go and travel to be with James and the rest of the elders of the church. So this would be like if you went on a mission trip, and then you came back from that mission trip and you met with the session. You met with the elders of the church to basically say, hey, this is how it went. This is what we saw happen. This is what we experienced. This is where we saw God at work on this mission trip. That's a little bit of what Paul is doing here. He's talking with the elders in Jerusalem. He's talking with James, and he's saying, this is what we learned and experienced on these missionary journeys. So the next verse says, Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. What do you think Paul included when he reported in detail? about all that God had done. I mean, think about the last 6 weeks of this series. We've been studying the book of Acts, and Paul could have shared any number of stories about the way that God was at work through his ministry and through the churches that he started. I mean, Paul could have said, hey, we experienced hundreds of people in Antioch coming to faith for the very first time. He could have shared about the grace of God at work in each city that he went to, and the way that that grace then transformed communities into churches. I mean, he could have shared about that time he went to that city of Lystra, and they tried to stone him to death, but he got up and went back into the city, just like what we studied last week. I mean, Paul could have shared any number of ways that God had been at work. But we are not told what details Paul decided to share with the elders of Jerusalem. Instead, we are simply told the response of the elders. Here is how they responded to Paul's stories. The next verse says, when they heard this, they praised God. And then they said to Paul, you see, brother, how many thousands of people have believed. In other words, they're saying, it is time to celebrate. That is our response to these stories. It is time to celebrate because thousands of people now believe in Christ who did not believe before. Thousands of people have come to trust in God who did not know to trust in God before. Yes, thousands of people have come to find redemption through Jesus Christ because Paul chose to go. And when they heard this, we're told, they praised God. So let me ask you a question now that we know what happened in this story. What's the difference between the church in Acts and the church of today? I mean, what's the difference between the church that we have just spent 7 weeks studying and the modern church of today? Well, there's probably a lot of differences that we can pick, but the one that I want to highlight today is the difference of urgency. I believe one of the big differences between the church in Acts that we're reading about and the church of today, the 21st century, is a sense of urgency. You see, the church of Acts, when you read about them, they acted with a sense of urgency, didn't they? Because they knew that they held a message that was a life-changing message. And so they traveled, they preached, they created churches, they told anyone who would listen about the goodness of God. Now, if you were to do an examination on the church of the 21st century, I mean, wouldn't you find that it lacks the same urgency? It's a sad reality that in many parts of this country, churches are actually on the decline. Less and less people are coming to worship. Less people are learning about the love that God has for them. It is time to recapture the sense of urgency of the church in Acts. Yes, the urgency to go and make disciples. If this sense of urgency is recaptured in the modern church, let me show you an example of what the result could possibly be. So, the example comes from looking at a letter that Paul wrote. Paul started a church in Thessalonica. You saw that name on the list of seven cities I listed earlier. And he writes a letter to that church in Thessalonica. And in that letter, he asks them to imagine a day. He says, hey, on that future day, at the end of time, when you are in the presence of God, what will your proudest accomplishment be? Have you ever wondered that before? Have you ever thought, okay, at the end of my time, when my life on earth is over and I'm in the presence of God, and I kind of look back on my life, what will be my proudest accomplishment? This is what Paul is encouraging the people of Thessalonica to ask themselves and to think about Here's how he puts it. So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says, "For what is our hope, our joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown when we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes?" Do you have any guesses what Paul might say? Now, remember, Paul is writing this to a church that he started. Before Paul got there, there was no church. After Paul left, there was this vibrant community of believers. And so he says, what would be my most proud accomplishment when I look back on my life? And in the next verse, he says, it is you. It is you talking to that church in Thessalonica. You are our pride and joy. Yes, Paul is saying that when he stands in the presence of God at the end of time, the thing that will bring him the greatest joy, the thing that will be his best accomplishment, the thing that will put the biggest smile on his face is recognizing that there are Christians in Thessalonica that would not have been there if not for that church that they planted. And I think you can extrapolate that to go beyond just Thessalonica. I think what Paul is saying here is that his greatest accomplishment is looking back on all those churches that he had a hand in starting and thinking about people who come to the saving knowledge of Jesus for the very first time. When he sees that impact, when he sees that legacy, he says, when I'm in the presence of God at the end of time, that's going to put the biggest smile on my face. Changed hearts and changed lives. This is Paul's lasting legacy. In week one, we studied Jesus' final command to his disciples and to us. Go out into all the world and make new disciples. Those new disciples are Paul's greatest joy. Okay, Unity, I'm going to shift gears here just for a moment, if that's all right, because I want to share with you a wonderful opportunity that we have in front of us. Last year, I told you guys that the church in Lincolnton had to close after 205 years of faithful ministry. And personally, just personally as your pastor, I don't think it's right for there not to be a Presbyterian presence in the Lincolnton area. In this last decade, our presbytery that goes from about here in Denver over to Asheville and beyond and all the churches in that area, in the last decade, our presbytery has closed numerous churches, and we have not planted one. And that just kind of grieves me, because I know the benefits of a community like this that can come together and encourage one another in our own journeys of discipleship. And so I wonder, as I think of these statistics, and I see a church just a half hour from us close after two generations, well, I think, isn't it time to change that? You know, don't you think the church in Acts would have something to say about that? Well, the exciting news and kind of the big announcement that I want to share with you guys is that the Presbytery of Western North Carolina, they agree. They agree. And the presbytery that we belong to would like to partner with us to plant a new church in the Lincolnton community. Yes, the presbytery, along with our denomination, would like to make sure that we don't close as many churches as we decide to open. And so we decided to film a little video to give you an idea of what this may look like. Let's go ahead and show that video. Hi, my name is Pastor David Bonomo, and we are here in the First Presbyterian Church of Lincolnton. This church has unfortunately had to close its doors and end its ministry after 205 years of ministry in Lincolnton.
But we're here in this church right now, and I want you to look around and just imagine. After 200 plus years of ministry, I mean, how many sermons have been preached? And how many times was the good news of God shared through the work of this church? How many baptisms and funerals and celebrations of life happened within the ministry of this church in Lincolnton? Here at Unity Presbyterian Church, we were devastated when we heard that this church had to close its doors. But I've got exciting news. Unity Presbyterian Church is partnering with the Presbytery of Western North Carolina to plant a new expression of worship in Lincolnton, North Carolina. We believe that the Presbyterian presence of having a vibrant church in this area must continue, that this should not end after 205 years of faithful ministry. And so we are partnering to chart a new course, a course that builds on the two generations of ministry that have gone before us in order to introduce the gospel and the good news of Jesus to new disciples throughout Lincolnton. We are so excited for what this is going to look like. And I recognize we've never done this. In the history of our church, going back to 1764, we've never planted a new church before. And so we are going outside the bounds. We are stepping outside of our comfort zone, but it is going to be great. It will be a faithful adventure, because I believe that this is where God is leading us, for healthy churches like ours to plant more healthy churches and expand this beautiful kingdom of God that we all get to be a part of. And so you will be hearing more details over the coming weeks and months about what this looks like. But for now, know that we are targeting a late summer, early fall kickoff and launch of a new worshiping community in Lincolnton. Please spread the word, share this video, let others know about this opportunity, and whoever wants to be on board, here's my email at the bottom of the screen. Please contact me, become part of the core group that's going to continue this wonderful witness of God's presence in the Lincolnton area.
All right, so as you can tell, we're pretty excited about this. This is a wonderful opportunity for not just our church, but for the global church to continue to grow and expand just like the church in Acts did. But I'm sure you've got questions, because that's a lot of new information. And so I'm not going to answer all of them right now, but let me answer a couple. So details, where will this church be? Well, the exact physical location is still being worked out with the presbytery. So right now, we don't know, but it's going to be in Lincolnton. That much we know for sure. So that's the where. What about the when? Well, you heard me. We are targeting a late August, early September timetable to launch this new church. Obviously, that depends on what COVID is doing and what this pandemic is doing, because we can't have a big kickoff and a big gathering in person if the pandemic's still raging. We think we'll be okay around that time period, but if we have to push it back, we will. What does funding look like? It costs money and resources to plant a new church. Well, it's exciting. The Presbytery of Western North Carolina is really partnering with our denomination to gather funds for these sorts of initiatives. And so that is where the funding will come from, is from our denomination and from the presbytery. Unity really acts as the partnering congregation. And so we provide the vision for what ministry is going to look like there. We'll provide the governance through our session, and we'll provide the encouragement and support of that new community. Staffing. What's staffing going to look like? Well, once again, the presbytery is going to hire a pastor that will be the Lincolnton pastor. But it's our job to support that pastor, to pray for that pastor. That pastor will participate in our staff meetings and really will partner together to make sure that chance or that church has the best chance to succeed. Now, the church staff here at Unity and the session wants to make sure that you feel as equipped as possible as we are journeying on this together. So we've done a couple of things to that end. The first is that I have filmed 2 training videos for church planting. They are now on our website. And I encourage all of you to go to unitypres.org. There is now a Lincolnton tab that you can click on. And under that tab, there will be 2 about 20-minute training videos to get you started about, you know, giving you an idea of what it looks like and means to plant a church. So that's the first thing. Please watch those training videos. And then the next thing is we'll be hosting 2 Zoom conversations. And these will be opportunities just to ask questions and to share a little bit about ideas, concerns, anything about this new initiative. Those sessions will be next Sunday. The first one will be next Sunday right after worship, about 10:30 a.m. And then the following Wednesday at 4 p.m. You don't have to go to both because they'll be the identical, but pick one if it works for you, February 21st or February 24th. Unity Presbyterian Church, what is our hope, our joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown when we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Well, may it be new Christians who come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ through planting of churches like this in Lincolnton. Yes, let us go and make new disciples.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.